I have explained to you the three characteristics. Now let us go back to the discourse, the virtuous Silavanta Sutta. So, Venerable Sariputta answered to the question put to him by the Venerable Mahakotika. And so in that, the Venerable Sariputta said, a virtuous bhikkhu, a virtuous and instructed bhikkhu should carefully attend to the five aggregates subject to clinging as impermanent, as suffering, as a disease, and so on. So there are altogether 11 aspects of them. Among them, we have gone through as impermanent, as suffering, and so on, until as alien. So as alien means as anatta. And next is as disintegrating. So we, a bhikkhu should attend to the five aggregates of clinging as disintegrating. So disintegrating or dissolving. Now, there are two kinds of disintegrating: moment-to-moment disintegrating and disintegrating at the end of one life. And we should see the five aggregates of clinging as disintegrating at every moment or moment by moment. So when we see the disintegrating, that means the disappearance moment by moment, we can understand the last disintegrating in what we call one life. So the disintegrating at the end of life and disintegrating during life at every moment are actually the same. So a bhikkhu should see the five aggregates of clinging as disintegrating, and when he sees the impermanent nature of the aggregates, he sees the disintegrating. Actually, he sees both the arising and disintegrating. And since he sees the disintegrating, he is able to see the impermanent nature or the characteristic of impermanence, which is non-existence after having been. The next aspect is SMD. So a bhikkhu should see the five aggregates of clinging as empty. Now here, empty does not mean nothingness. Empty in Theravada means empty of atta, empty of abiding self or soul. So when he observes the five aggregates, he sees only the five aggregates and nothing more that he can call a self or a soul. At every moment of noting, he understands that there is the object that is noted and the mind that notes. And only these two go pairwise at every moment. And there is nothing over and above the thing that is noted and the mind that knows. So he does not see anything that he can call a self or a soul. And so he should see in this way. So seeing as empty means seeing as another, seeing as non-self. And the last one is as non-self, as another. And we already know about another. So there are altogether 11 aspects here, but in brief, there are only three: as impermanent, as suffering, and the last as non-self. Now you will see the small numbers after the words. And number one means that this is the aspect of anicca or impermanent. So as impermanent and as disintegrating mean actually the same thing as impermanent. And then as suffering, as a disease, as a tumor, as a death, as misery, as an affliction, they mean dukkha or suffering. And as alien, as empty, and as non-self, they mean as another. So what is important is at least to see the five aggregates of clinging as impermanent, suffering, and non-self or non-soul. And these 11 aspects actually are found in other suttas taught by the Buddha himself. So although we find these 11 aspects here as taught by the Venerable Sariputta, actually the Venerable Sariputta took these from the teachings given by the Buddha himself. And so they are as authentic as the teachings of the Buddha himself. So in this discourse and in other discourses, these 11 aspects are given. But if you think they are too little, you can go to Visuddhimagga and you will find 40 aspects there. So when describing the Vipassana knowledge, the Visuddhimagga describes these 40 kinds of observing the aggregates of clinging or observing mind and matter. So if you want to know more, then you may go to Visuddhimagga and take those 40 aspects. Now, what can we expect from seeing the five aggregates of clinging as impermanent, as suffering, and as non-self? Now, Venerable Sariputta said, when a virtuous bhikkhu and also an instructed bhikkhu carefully attends thus to these five aggregates subject to clinging, it is possible that he may realize the fruit of stream entry. So that means when a bhikkhu sees the five aggregates of clinging as impermanent and so on, there's a possibility that he will become a Sotapanna. So in order to become a Sotapanna, what do we have to do? We have to observe the five aggregates of clinging as impermanent, as suffering, and as non-self. So it is very important that when we practice Vipassana meditation, we see these three characteristics of five aggregates of mind and matter, or of all conditioned phenomena. when we see the three characteristics of five aggregates of clinging, it will lead us to gaining dispassion towards these five aggregates. Now, first, we see that they are impermanent, they are suffering, and they are not so. That means we see the arising and disappearing. And when we see the arising and disappearing, especially the disappearing, we will come to realize that these five aggregates that disappear every moment are fearful, are dangerous. Since they are disintegrating or disappearing at every moment, what if they stop arising and disappearing? That means death. So death can come to us any moment. And so that is one thing frightening about the five aggregates. And when we see that they are dangerous, we find fault with them. We see fault in them. And when we see fault in them, we become dispassionate towards these things. We are no longer attached to them. We no longer want them. We no longer want to possess them. We turn away from them, and that is what is called dispassion, to be dispassionate towards these five aggregates. So when this dispassionate attitude towards five aggregates is very important in vipassana, and it is called strong vipassana. So only when one reaches the stage of dispassion towards all five aggregates is vipassana becomes strong. Is vipassana becomes strong. Before that, vipassana is called young vipassana or tender vipassana. So at the stages of seeing rising and falling, seeing that they are fearful and so on, they are not called strong vipassana yet. So only when one reaches the stage of dispassion towards the five aggregates, disenchantment with these five aggregates, is vipassana called strong vipassana. So this strong vipassana will lead a yogi to the attainment of enlightenment, to the attainment of stream entry here. Because when one becomes disenchanted with these five aggregates, one wants to get out of them, or one wants to throw them away. So when he wants to get out of them, then he will practice more, and then in the end, he will be able to get rid of them. So to be dispassionate towards the five aggregates of clinging is important, and to become dispassionate towards these five aggregates, first we need to see them as impermanent, as suffering, and as non-so. So since only when a yogi sees the three characteristics that he or she reached the stage of dispassion towards the aggregates, so it is important to reach that stage. Now, this reaching that stage of becoming dispassionate through seeing the three characteristics is powerfully explained in Visuddhimagga with a simile, and I hope many of you have heard that simile. The simile of a man who tries to catch a fish. So there is a man, and he wants to catch fish, and so he put some net or something, it's like a basket, in the water. Now, after some time, he thought there was a fish in the in the net, and so he took hold of that thing. He thought it was a fish. And so when he took hold of that fish, or what he thought to be fish, he was very happy, because now he had something, say, for him. So he raises an arm out of the water, and then when it came out of the water, he saw the three lines on the thing he had got hold of. And these three lines are three lines of poison. So now he knew that it was not a fish, but a snake. So when, at that moment, how would you feel? You become afraid. Because now it is not a fish, and it is a snake, a poisonous snake, that can kill you with a bite. So he was afraid or terrified, and so he saw danger in that. So when he saw danger, he became dispassionate. Now he doesn't want it. So when he becomes dispassionate, or when he wants to turn away from it, he wants to get free from it. He wants to throw it away, or he wants to be delivered from it. And then, before throwing the snake away, because he wanted to do something to the snake so that it could not bite him back. So he took the snake and then swung the snake on his head for maybe 3-4 times, and then he threw it away. So in the same way, after being dispassionate with the five aggregates, you have to watch, you have to observe the three characteristics again, so that you do not want the five aggregates again. So in order not to be bitten by the failure to see the three characteristics, he dwells on the three characteristics more, and so a time will come when his mind rushes into the cessation of all conditioned phenomena from the conditioned phenomena. So that rushing into what is unconditioned phenomena is what is meant by attaining enlightenment, or taking nirvana as object. So this is a very powerful simile. So until you see the danger, you will not want to get away from something. Only when you see danger, only when you see fault, do you want to get away from it. So that is why, if you want to quit smoking, then you have to see the real danger in smoking. If you want to quit drinking, you have to see the real danger in drinking, and so on. Until you see the danger, you will not want to give it up. So this is a logical sequence, natural logical sequence, not made up by anybody. So first you need to see the object, and then you need to see that this object is nothing to be adhered to, nothing to be attached to, because now you see that it is false, of impermanence, and so on. And only when you see the fault, do you want to get away from it? So it is very important that first we see the three characteristics, and then we reach the stage of dispassion towards the five aggregates. You can find this simile in detail in Visuddhimagga, or in English translation, the Path of Purification, chapter 21. So here the Venerable Sariputta said, if a monk sees the five aggregates of clinging as impermanent and so on, there is a possibility that he may become a Sotapanna, or he may reach the stage of stream entry. Now, what is stream entry? It is the translation of the Pali word Sotapatti. So the word Sotapatti is made up of two parts, Sota and Apatti. Now, Sota really means not stream. Sota is the current, the current in the river, or the flow of water. So that is called Sota. And Apatti means first reaching. So Sotapatti means first reaching the current. Now, when anything gets into the current of a river, then it is sure to reach the ocean. So in the same way, when a person gets into this current of the Noble Path, he is sure to reach Nibbana. So once a person becomes a Sotapanna, there is no turning back. So he will go nearer and nearer to Nibbana, and after maximum of seven lives, he will reach Nibbana. So the stream entry means getting into the current for the first time. So the Pali word is again Sotapatti, comprising of Sota and Apatti. And when does a person get into this stream or current? When he attains enlightenment for the first time. Now, when does a person get into this current for the first time? Now, he gets into the current for the first time when his practice of vipassana becomes mature, when his practice of vipassana becomes complete. So at the moment, at that moment, what happens is there arises in his mind a type of consciousness. And that type of consciousness he has not experienced before in his life. And that consciousness arises at the end of the vipassana practice. So that consciousness must be preceded by vipassana consciousness, or vipassana thought moments. So when that consciousness arises, it is called a path consciousness. So when that consciousness arises, that consciousness takes Nibbana as object. That means it plunges into the cessation of all suffering. So it takes Nibbana as object, and at the same time, it eradicates mental defilement. Now there are four stages of enlightenment, and at each stage, a little of the mental defilement is eradicated. So when that consciousness arises, it is accompanied by mental factors. There are said to be 36 mental factors arising with that consciousness. Among them, the important factors are the eight. You might have guessed what these eight are. The eight factors of path, right understanding, and so on. So right understanding and so on are actually the mental factors that arise simultaneously with the path consciousness. So among these eight factors, there is the first one, right understanding. Right understanding means knowledge or wisdom. It is that right understanding that actually eradicates the mental defilements. So, according to Theravada teachings, enlightenment means arising of that path consciousness together with the mental factors, and that consciousness and mental factors taking Nibbana as object and at the same time eradicating mental defilements. That is what we call enlightenment. And the person who reaches for the first time this this current is called Sotapanna in Pali. Again, it is made up of two parts, Sota and Apanna. Apanna means one who has reached for the first time, and Sota is the current. So Sotapanna means one who has reached for the first time the current. Now this word is translated into English as stream entrant, or sometimes they translate it as stream enter, a stream winner, or stream enterer. Now we may use any English translation, but we will understand the meaning of that word according to the Pali. So, when a person reaches this stage, when a person becomes a Sotapanna, he is no longer a worldling. He is no longer a Puttujana in Pali. So, Puttujana, we can roughly translate as ordinary person. So, he has become a noble person once he reached the stage of stream current reaching. So a person who has reached or who reaches the stage of Sotapanna eradicates some mental defilements. Actually, it is not the person who eradicates, but the Samadhi, the right understanding that eradicates the mental defilements. So at the moment of the path of Sotapatti, at the moment of the first enlightenment, some mental defilements are eradicated. Eradicated means they are destroyed altogether, so that they do not arise in the mind of that person anymore. It is total destruction of these mental defilements. And it is said that a Sotapanna eradicates three kinds of fetters, actually three kinds of mental defilements. And one is Sakkaya Ditti, wrong view about the body, wrong view about self. And the second is doubt, doubt about the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, and the training. And the third is adherence to rites and rituals. So these are the three fetters that are eradicated at the moment of Sotapatti Magga. Even before reaching the enlightenment for the first time, when a yogi is practicing vipassana, he is able to abandon the wrong view about the body, or wrong view of atta. But his abandonment at that time is momentary, not altogether. But at the moment of enlightenment, he eradicates that wrong view about self altogether, so that it does not arise in his mind again. And when he becomes a Sotapanna, he has unshakable faith in the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. Since he has realized the Dhamma himself, since he has reached this stage, he knows that the teacher who taught the method of practice for reaching this stage was a genuine teacher. So he gains unshakable faith in the Buddha. The Buddha was the real teacher. He had himself reached the stage of enlightenment, and then he taught the way to reach that statement, and now that person has reached the stage, and so he now has unshakable faith or confidence in the Buddha. And also he has unshakable faith in the Dhamma. The Dhamma means the practice. Through this practice, he has now reached this stage, and so he has complete faith in this practice. This practice really leads to eradication of mental defilements, and really leads to the realization of Nibbana. So he gains unshakable faith or confidence in the Dhamma too. And also he gains faith, unshakable faith in the Sangha. The Sangha means Buddha's disciples who followed Buddha's advice, practice, meditation, and reached enlightenment. And so he can identify himself with those noble disciples of the Buddha. And so he gains the unshakable faith in the Sangha, which is the community of Buddha's noble disciples. When he gains unshakable faith in the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, he gains faith in the practice also. So he is able to eradicate doubts about Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, and the practice. Before he reached the stage, he will have some doubts, whether it is really right to do this, or whether this practice will really lead to the realization of Nibbana, and so on. But now that he has reached the stage himself, he has achieved the results himself, he has no doubt about them. So he is able to eradicate doubts about the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, and the practice. And such a person who has reached the stage of enlightenment will not take any other practice to be the correct one to realize Nibbana. If anybody comes to him and says, inflicting pain on oneself can lead to attainment of Nibbana, or acting like a dog, behaving like a cow can lead to Nibbana, he will not believe in it. He will say, no, any practice that does not include the Eightfold Path is not the right path. He knows it through his experience. He practiced the Eightfold Path, that means he practiced Vipassana, and he reached the stage of enlightenment, and so he knows that this is the right path. Any practice that does not include the eightfold path or the eight factors is not the right way that would lead to eradication of mental defilements. Even if you were to go to him and tell him, you just do dana and you can reach enlightenment. Now you just practice sila, you can reach enlightenment. He will say no. Dana is good, and by dana you get merit, and you can share this merit with other beings, and you get results of dana in the future. It is good, but to reach Nibbana, dana is not enough. Even sila alone is not enough. Although we practice sila, we need to have a pure sila when we practice meditation. But sila alone, keeping sila alone, will not lead to enlightenment again. So all this he knows through his own experience, and so he will not adhere to any of these practices that do not involve any of the eight factors of the path. So in brief, Sotapanna eradicates wrong view, doubt, and adherence to rites and rituals. But Sotapanna abandons more. Now there are mental defilements like greed, hatred, delusion. For our purposes here, we must understand that these mental defilements are of two kinds. The first kind is bad enough mental defilements that can drag us down to the states of misery. And the second kind is not so bad mental defilements that cannot or that will not drag us to down to the four states of misery. So there are two kinds. The first kind of greed, hatred, and delusion Sotapanna eradicates. Although Sotapanna still has greed, hate, or anger, and delusion, they are not strong enough, they are not bad enough to drag him down to the four states of misery. So, it is not only the three fetters that Sotapanna eradicates, but also the power of mental defilements that can drag him to four woeful states or four states of misery. So, what mental defilement remain in the sotapanna are not so strong. Not so strong as to drag him down to the states of misery. And a sotapanna is said to be endowed with four qualities. Now, the first one is unshakable faith in the Buddha, the second, unshakable faith in the Dhamma, the third, unshakable faith in the Sangha, and the fourth, very pure sila. Very pure sila that is dear to noble ones and that is not broken anywhere at all. And of these four, I've explained to you the unshakable faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Now the last one, sila. It is very important that you know about the sila of a sotapanna. So it is said that a sotapanna is endowed with sila or moral purity that is dear to the noble ones, that noble ones like. And that means his sila is very pure. It is not broken in the beginning. No, there are precepts he keeps, right? Five precepts. So he keeps the five precepts so that they are not broken in the beginning or in the middle or in the end, are not broken two or three consecutively. So he keeps these five precepts very, very pure. So that you should understand. So a sotapanna is a person who keeps the five precepts without breaking any of them. It is said in the books that even in the next life, suppose a sotapanna dies here and is reborn as a human being again. Even in the next life, his observance of the five precepts is automatic. Even as a child, he will not kill any living being and so on. So a sotapanna is very pure in his precepts, I mean in his sila, in his keeping the five moral precepts, and these five moral precepts all of you are familiar with. All of you keep these sila while you are not here. Now you're here, you keep eight precepts. So the five precepts are abstention from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, and taking intoxicants. Nowadays, there are people who claim to be sotapannas. And it is very difficult to know whether they are really sotapannas or not, because it is their own experience, and so we cannot go into his mind and find out whether he is really a sotapanna or not. But there are ways to investigate. Now we can check him with his observance of five precepts. So if we keep them really intact, and if he doesn't break any one of these rules, he may be a sotapanna. But if you see him doing something not conforming to the rules of sila, maybe if you see him drinking, or if he tells a lie, then you can decide that he is not a sotapanna. Wait, it is said in the commentaries that a sotapanna does not break any of the five precepts, right? So he does not drink. Now, if you mix alcohol with water and give it to him, it is said that only the water will go down his throat and not the alcohol. So that is one way to test. You can mix some alcohol with water and give to him and see whether the whole thing goes down his throat or not. And you may have heard that for a sotapanna, the doors of woeful states are closed. That means a sotapanna will not be reborn in the four states of misery. A sotapanna will not be reborn in hell, in animal kingdom, as the hungry ghost, and as an asura ghost. Now, a sotapanna is not reborn in those states because he does not do anything that will drag him down to those states. So that is important. You should understand this. Again, there are some people who claim to be sotapannas, but they may still drink. They may still do other things. And then they will say, "Oh, I am a sotapanna. So for me, it's okay. I can do this. I am immune to this, right? So I'm above coming into getting offense through doing this. So I can kill, I can steal, and so on. It is okay for me because I am a sotapanna, or say I am spiritually advanced." So if you believe them, you'll be very unlucky. So a sotapanna is not reborn in woeful states because he does not do anything that will take him to these four woeful states. It is just an if he is capable of doing something that will take him to the woeful state, he will be reborn there. So that is not that because he is a sotapanna and he is protected by the sotapannaship from going down to hell, but he can do anything he likes. No, that cannot be true. So a sotapanna is not reborn in woeful states simply because he does not do anything, any akusala, any unwholesome karma that will take him down to the four woeful states. So that also you must understand. Now there are some other things about Sotapatimagga, and they are called blessings of Sotapatimagga, and they are mentioned in Visuddhimagga. So the doors of the woeful states are closed is one of these blessings. There are other blessings given in Visuddhimagga. And so we will talk about it tomorrow.